you.
Thank you that we can come together this morning, Lord. Quicken us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that your word may go forth to bring to pass the things you wanted to do. We thank you and praise you, Lord. That we know, Lord, that in it everything that we need is provided for life and godliness. And Lord, we just come before you today, Lord, to receive. And your word says, "Ye be open, keep your mouth open, and I will fill it." And Lord, we are just here to listen and to hear and to receive from you. Quicken us to be able to receive it in our heart and our spirits. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, in the last 2 weeks, we start covering a topic which actually was very practical in terms of understanding how to go beyond Bible study, how to go beyond just meditating on the Word, reading the Word, and trying to do, but how to actually activate the Holy Spirit, our helper, that is inside us, to bring to pass, to manifest the promises of God so that we can receive and we can prosper in the things we do. This is God's promise. And when we understand that, and we understand that we have a part we play in God's being able to do the things he wants to do for us, in God being able to manifest his power on our behalf. It just doesn't happen just like that by chance. It happens because some conditions are met. And one of the conditions that we saw is the fact that we have been feeling ourselves eating, you know, devouring, just taking in the word so that our thinking lines up with the thinking God has. This is the first part. It's only the first part. And most people stop there. Most people, what the only thing that they do is to be there, try to be, and there is some effect already when you meditate on the word, when you study the word, when you feel on the word, you know, if you feel differently, physically, emotionally, and everything, and physically too. But that's not enough to fully manifest the Holy Spirit operation in us to bring to pass the promises. It's just that it's mostly, you know, as an effect on our emotions, as an effect on our, the way our attitude, our position, but we need more than that. We need not more God to move in the natural, to operate in the natural, to make changes to the environment, to the situation, maybe to our body if we need healing, to things that need to be changed in this world. And God's power is able to do that and wanting to do that for his people. That's what he did throughout the whole Bible, starting from the very beginning. When situations or the conditions are met, according to which God said he would do something, he does it. So we don't have to be there wondering if he's going to do it, is he going to be fulfilling what he said he would do or not. See, one of the conditions is for us to believe. We have to believe with our heart. And if we don't believe, we are in unbelief, we cannot receive. And we hinder, we stop God's ability from being able to manifest the things he wants to do. This is because our mind is trained in the wrong way. Our mind is trained to depend on our senses, and we depend on the things that we see, we depend on the things that we hear, depend on the things we think because of our past experiences. If you do like that, the only thing we're going to get is what we got before. So we have to break loose from that bondage, from that limitation, You know, the Bible talks about even that the Israel, you know, limited the God of Israel. You know, the people there, they limited God's ability to minister to them and to help them. So really, you see how much power we actually have just in our, the position that we have in our heart. Power to release God's power or to block it. And we have to understand that so that we can cooperate with God instead of hindering his activity. Now, we talked already quite a bit about, you know, the fact that, you know, how to do things like meditating, studying the Word, how important the Word is. Because that's the only way that we can understand about spiritual things. You know, and the enemy work from the very beginning was always to discredit what God said. With Adam and Eve, he said, did God really say? Today, you know, centuries of so-called theologians that they don't understand the Bible, you know, they're trying to prove that the Bible is full of errors. Well, that's the work of the devil working in them. That's exactly what he wants. If you don't have any basis for believing, you are not going to believe anything and you cannot believe anything. You cannot have any faith. That's, it's like taking your ground, you know, taking the ground up behind you, you know, underneath you, away, you have nothing to stand on anymore. You have to know the Bible is true and is the Word of God. Amen. Is God speaking to you, giving you direction, providing you the information so that you can overcome the things that you see around you and you can overcome the situation you're in? And so this is why we had to go to the Word. It's not because we are religious or we are, you know, trying to please God. See, we go to the Word because we, that pleases us. Because that's the way to get us out of trouble. Amen. And when we realize that, then we see that we are not doing a favor to God. He got everything already. He doesn't need that. He was the one that spoke it out anyway. The one that needs it now, it's us. Because we are in a world that is a mess. And the enemy is there trying to steal and kill and destroy. But when Jesus instead was the opposite, he tried to help us. Hallelujah. But the apartheid, you know, then once we got to that place, once we have filled ourselves with the Word of God, once we understand what God's way is and who God is, because, you know, most of the God of religion is not the God of the Bible. You know, most of religions say God is there with a hammer ready to, as soon as you make a mistake, to squash you. It's just the opposite. He's there to pull you out of the trouble if you give him a chance. But you have to trust him. And that's why he gave us the promises. See, the promises of God is where we understand what he wants to do with us. And he gives us the ability to receive them. This is what means that God is faithful. God is faithful to what? To you? No, God is faithful to his word. If he said something, he is going to do it. If he doesn't do it, that means you don't understand it, or there is something that is not working for you. And the only thing you have to do is to correct that, and things are going to work out. See, when you have the right theology, you get the results that the Bible says you should get. Hallelujah. But it takes the courage to go to ignore sometimes the circumstances we are in. The courage to take a stand against everything around us that the enemy throws at us. That's what we have to learn to do. This is, you know, and to be the courage to act on the word. We said, put it to work. And so what we are going to see today, you know, is the fact that what that really mean to act on the word. What does it really mean to, you know, put to work the word in us? Because when we do that, what happens? See, we are given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right? If you are born again believer, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you are not born again believer, become the temple of the Holy Spirit by becoming born again. It's not that difficult. You just have to make that decision to believe what Jesus has done for you. That's all. And then God's ability starts to work in you to help you in the situation you're in. So, the enemy is there. See, this is what happens at the beginning. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve blew it. And so they capitulated to Satan. And he took over what Adam actually had himself before. And so the world today is in that situation. It is not completely finished the job that Jesus did. We need to accept what Jesus did and through Jesus' work, you know, be set free. We need to understand how to cooperate with God. And we need to use the promises of God to believe beyond what is our condition, what are the situations, what are the things that we even think, because our mind is adapted to the world, is programmed by the world we are in. You know, comes fall, flu season, you know? So everybody has to get sick. Said who? Okay? You don't need to get sick. You have to take a position, exercise your faith. And even before you get sick, you walk in divine health. And that keeps you from getting sick. You don't need to take a shot. The shot is the word that does the work. Much more effective. It doesn't cost anything. Amen? Praise the Lord. And doesn't make you sick either. All right. So, the thing is, you know, we are going to be put in situations that are difficult. We are going to be tempted to believe what the devil says instead of what God says. But there is a promise. You know, God, in his wisdom, you know, God gave us the parameter in which that can happen. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says very clearly, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. What's faithful to what? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So you see, this is something, see, that thought should be in your head all the time. See, because you have to have faith that the attacks you have, whatever they are, you are going to be able to deal with them and overcome them. If you don't know that, you think the devil is going to be so powerful, he can do anything to you, and then you expect him to do that, and he will, because your faith is operating against you. When instead, when you know the word of God, you are defended by the truth that the word of God says, and so you can take a stand and say, no, wait a minute. Doesn't matter, you know, if something bad happened to you. No, it's okay. I can handle that and I can overcome that. And I can overcome that by help, maybe not on your own ability, but on God's ability. God is there to help you through and to make you better than you were before. See, that's what happens all the time in the Bible. When somebody was attacked and went through some problems, what happened is that they, at the end of the whole trial, they were better than they were before. That's what happened to Job. That really, you know, everybody says, you know, Job is really in a mess. Well, even then he was 10 times better than he was before. Now we should have the same expectations. This is a promise. God is faithful. Okay. This is why in James chapter 1, in verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Hey, hallelujah, I got the trial today. I mean, you know, doesn't anybody that thinks in the terms of the world says you are crazy. Count it all joy when you fall into any trial. How can you be counting it all joy? The only way that you can count it all joy is because God, you know that God is not going to allow that unless you can overcome it. You see, your joy is determined by the things that are going to come, not by the things you're going through at the moment. Jesus went through the cross. And it really, you know, there was somebody that had to be upset about it was him. He said, "For the joy set before him." So he was expecting. He went through all that because he was expecting victory at the end, not only for himself, but for us too. He didn't need to do that. You know, he could have stopped the whole thing right there. But he went through for the joy that was set before him. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that you and me, you know, and I would be born again and would have the same spirit that he has. That was good news. This is good news for us to have too. See, we had to learn to think that way and not the way, "Oh my goodness, look what happened to me. Why me, Lord?" That's what most of the people say. And these are Christians. Well, are Christians, they don't know the word. Because the word says there very clearly that you're not going to be tested more than what you can able to do. Hallelujah. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. You know, patience means you go through without being destroyed. You're going there, you know, enduring it, getting through, and pushing through. Okay, where am I? Yeah. Perfect, you know, patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, that's the way you grow. How do you develop physically? How do you develop muscles? You develop muscle by working it out. When you work out, you see what happens is the muscle get torn a bit each time. And because it's torn, it just grows. So it becomes stronger, able to do more. How do you ever able to overcome things is by going through the things that by to the trial. The enemy is trying to destroy you. He comes not to help you. He comes to destroy you. He comes but to steal and kill and destroy. John 10:10. But he doesn't know that at the end we are going to be stronger than we were before. See, if he will know that, but you know, he's a gambler. He gambles on the fact that, well, maybe, you know, he's up and I got him. See, it's up to you not to give up. The moment you give up, you lose. The moment you persevere and you have patience under trial, you overcome. So the end of the story is, if you don't quit, you win. It's just as simple as that. You know, people that overcome is the one that don't give up. In all their, even in the world. You know, people that really are determined to do something and they end up doing it, they are finally able to do it. Most of the time. But with God, all the time. Hallelujah. Lacking nothing. You want to lack nothing? That's the way. You just rejoice when a temptation comes. Now, I tell you that because you need to remind yourself. Because at that moment, the last things you want to do is to rejoice. That's the moment. You see, the moment when you need to do certain things, our flesh wants to do the wrong thing all the time. The word says instead the things you have to do if you want to overcome. See, give us the secret to victory. And we have to understand that secret to be able to overcome, and it's not coming from the world. Only God is going to give you the truth.
Okay.
See, in James chapter 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. See, temptation or trial is the same thing. The words are the same there. For when he has been approved, how do you approve? We overcome. You stand firm. You are not pushed around by the enemy. Okay? He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, the thing is, you have to love him to actually keep rejoicing under trial. Why? Because you love him and you trust him. See, that's why, you know, people say, well, I trust God. Yeah, but if you don't manifest that trust, there is no trust there. If you act in disagreement with the trust in God, that means you don't expect God to give you the victory, then you are really not trusting him. And if you are not trusting him because you don't love him, because you don't think he's trustworthy. God is faithful and trustworthy. He come true all the time. See, that believing that is the basis to our victory. If you don't believe that, you're going to go under. Because you're going to give up before you get there. The enemy is going to try to do as much as possible until you give up. But when you know and you can stand firm and you are there and not moving, finally he gives up and says, you know what, this guy is a waste of time. I'm going to go and bother somebody else. And you say, hallelujah. Keep going. Are you following me? See, this is what's saying, you know, when you are approved, because you have been standing that long enough, you will receive the crown of life. That means, you know, you're victorious. All right? Which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say that when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So all the problems we have don't come from God. You know, lots of religious people say, oh, you know, God is testing me. God is not testing anybody. The devil is testing you. The devil is testing you, but he can test you only to the degree that God let him, because he knows what you can do. See, God trusts you, not tests you. Because he trusts you, then he says, you know what, you can do up to here. Because I know that up to here, you're going to win. So anything that you go through today is because you can win. See, by itself, that, you know, when you fully realize and believe that, by itself, that gives you the strength to endure and to have patience. Hallelujah. Okay, so, you know, the thing is then is doing and to do and prosper. You know, in Psalm 1, really, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He says all the different things to put you in the position to receive. Okay? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You see, you are there doing that, what? In his meditating his day and night. See, that's the way you are filling yourself in. That's the way you are preparing. This is just preparation. It's not the end of the story. Just the beginning to get there. But you have to do that. See, without preparation, nothing can happen. You know, if you want to build a place, a house, you have to prepare all everything and then put it together. But before you even put anything together, it's not that you are throwing stones together or pieces of wood together. You have to have a plan. You have to have organized. You have to, you know, buy the stuff, and you have to get ready to do the work. And then the work starts. The same thing with spiritual things. Before, you get ready. How you get ready? You get all the information that you need. You get all the planning that you need. You get to the word. But then, action time. You know, you cannot win a battle without fighting. Any big victory is the result of a big battle. There is no victory otherwise. Okay. So he said, you know, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Can we say together, whatever he does shall prosper. So you see, this is a promise. It says whatever. No, doesn't say if that morning God woke up in the right side of the bed, he's going to let you do it. All right. So faith always involves doing something. You know, in James chapter 2, again, James is a, you know, really a book written for new believers. And there are all the tricks of the game there. All the things that you need to know to have a victorious life as a believer. It's a short book, and anybody that comes to the Lord, that's the first thing they should study. Because that's, they give all the ammunition that you need to overcome, but you have to know it well. You know, if you are in war and you have all these weapons for you and you don't know what they are and how to use them, you can't fight, can you? You have to get an expert knowledge for each of the weapons and how to use them. So that, and you, and when to use them, so that you use them in the right way, at the right time, and then you can fight the war. Otherwise, you cannot fight the war. Are you following me? So, you see, there is a place, James is a couple of pages, 2.5 pages and so on in my Bible. Anyway, gives you all the ammunition that you need to have to fight the battle and win. That's why where do you start reading the Bible? You start right there, and then you develop in the other things. But there it gives you all the details. Okay, so James chapter 2, verse 20 says, But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You see, the idea is that people think, oh, I believe, and then God is going to do it. God is not going to do. He's going to do only what you end up starting to do yourself. So, faith without works is dead. Or you can say in modern terminology, faith without action is dead. That means produces nothing. But was not Abraham, our father, justified by the works which he did when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see, God had promised Isaac to Abraham. And he got to the place in which he had to take action, to manifest fully what the promise of God was, to be ready to give up what God had given him. And he had to go and offer on the altar Isaac himself. And only then God stopped him. He says, no, wait a minute, you went far enough. See, sometimes that's what happens to us too. You see what that tells us? That obedience to God's direction makes all the difference. Obedience means do what God said we should do. I mean, for us, means God didn't have, I mean, Abraham didn't have a Bible. So he had to hear directly. I mean, we are definitely to advantage. The only thing we had to do is to read it. It's a lot easier, wouldn't you say? It's been tested. It's been true. Okay? So, you see, we need to read the word, see what it says to do, and then we have to do it in obedience. And God is going to fulfill the things. So, well, yes, but is that easy? Well, we'll see in a minute. Maybe. If we have the time. All right. So, continue your verse 23. No, verse 22. That you may see the faith without work together with his work, that the by work faith was made perfect. Now, and the scriptures was fulfilled by saying Abraham believed God and he was accounted for him for righteousness. So you see, because he believed God, when you believe something, you act according to what you believe. Abraham acted according to what God said, obeyed God, and therefore, because of his obedience, was accounted for him as righteousness. So this promise was fulfilled. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that the man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, I want to cut this off shorter because I want to possibly add something else. The idea here is that, in verse 26 says, for as the body without spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead also. So you see, the body is dead, that means it can do anything. Faith is what we believe. The word faith in Greek is pistis, which means simply believe. What you believe is dead, produces no results without works, without action corresponding to them. Okay. So what kind of actions can we do? Well, we can start seeing some. First action is for us actually to agree and to confess the word. What does it mean, agree and confess the word? Well, if the word says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed and we need healing, then we have to be able to say, even before we are healed, that by Jesus' stripes I am healed. What you are doing is simply confessing or agreeing with the word and taking a position inside that the word is true, no matter what the physical evidences are. So you take that position. So you confess the word. See, when you confess the word, you take a position and you release your faith. You see, you release the power of your belief by allowing what is inside your head and inside your heart to come out through your mouth and through your tongue and through your voice, and you speak it out. One of the impact that produces immediately is to make you feel different. If you go around believing and standing, even if you are feeling sick, but if you start, for example, you have pain, if you go around and start saying, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed, and you say it, and you believe it, and you keep saying it, and you keep telling your body, you line up with the word of God, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed, that problem will stay there for very long. Okay? It works so well that it works when somebody else does it for you. When your faith is not working, but somebody else's faith is working, a believer, can say the same words on you and the problem should go. This is what in Mark chapter 16 says, the sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. You know, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you see, the faith of somebody else can work in you. Can you imagine how much better it's going to work your own faith in you? And you don't need to be having enormous faith. Just you have to believe. That's simple as it is. So the first thing that you have to do, you know, and this is in Romans chapter 8, 10, verse 9, says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That applies to salvation, but applies to anything. Applies to anything that Jesus accomplished. So you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth and it's going to be manifested in your life. It says, for with the heart, one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So that's the step. You see, teaches us how to do it. Okay. So, is this the only thing that we can do? Oh, no, there are many other things we can do. One of the things that we can do, this is when we make a confession of the word, we consciously choose to take a scripture that applies to our situation and we speak it out. As we speak it out, we release our faith. And our faith is trying to manifest what God promised because we activate the Holy Spirit in us. But what happens if after we made the confession consciously, we go around and start complaining, oh, how long is it going to take this? You know, I'm really sick today. So, evidently, we are not constant in our position. Our mouth says things now that are contrary to what we said 10 minutes ago. We cannot do that and expect anything to happen. We have to be consistent. You see, this is in James again, chapter 1, says, you know, that if you are, you know, wavering like the wave of the sea, believing and not believing, doesn't work. So what we can do, or what we should do, is to look at what we say, not when we are at church trying to use the scripture or when we are reading the scripture in the Bible, but when we are just walking around and doing our own business. What comes out of our mouth, does it reflect what the word of God says or reflects what the physical situation is? That's what tells us where we are at. That's what determines. So what we have to do is to learn to see where actually our position is in faith or in unbelief. And we have to control our mouth. Again, James chapter 2. It's everything there. Okay, we have to control our mouth so that we speak the word, even when we are not quoting the word, because the word is inside us, ruling the way we say. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when the word is inside our heart, it's going to come out, not just when we read the Bible or when we are meditating, it's going to come out 24/7. All the time. The word coming out of us and bringing to pass the things we believe. I want to add one more thing, just an extra thing for today. What I shared before about praising the Lord, coming and worshiping Him. You see, that is part of what is almost the same thing of what I'm saying now. See, when you go before the Lord and you worship Him and you thank Him, you see, what you are doing is acknowledging that He's delivering you. You are more aware of His deliverance than the problem you are in. Okay, so one way of confessing or expressing with your mouth, but goes beyond that. You see, it's not just believing. You see, when you talk about worshiping, it goes also with your heart. Okay, so you start expressing your gratitude toward God. You start worshiping Him, praising Him, and acknowledging that all good things come from Him. And you start coming into His presence and say, I praise you, Lord. See, that's why we raise up our hands when we praise. See, when you raise up our hand, you see they're not like that. They're like this. You're receiving. It's the natural position that your body takes to receive the things that come from on high. Okay. So you automatically get yourself in the condition, in the position to receive. And God's presence, God's anointing, God's glory comes to you and you start receiving and you're going to get sooner or later a manifestation. Get into worship. But you know, if you don't believe that God is, you know, if you go around and say, God, why did you did this to me? You see how opposite that is from what I'm saying at the moment. See, the very moment when you say, why God did this, you already lost the whole thing. You had to start again. Amen. I could quote you lots of scripture on this, and you know, that would be going on forever, but I think we are running out of time. But there are other ways also to act on the word. Many ways. The one I just mentioned before, when Abraham offered Isaac on the altar, the God said, you know, go and offer him on the altar. That's the way of obeying the word. So the obedience of the word is all a new dimension that we have to talk about. And it's not going to be 5 minutes, it's going to be the whole service that's going to be next time. Okay. But that's probably one of the most important things, because, you know, people preach about confession. People preach about worshiping and everything else. And many people do. But actually being able to understand how to act on the word of God is one of the most difficult things that you must learn to do. Even, and I'm going to leave you with this, even Abraham blew it when he had Ishmael as a son. I mean, God had promised that he was going to have a son. And instead of doing it God's way, he did it his way. He tried to have a son, not with his wife. With the suggestion of his wife, because his wife couldn't have children. See, but he blew it completely. He had Ishmael, and he's still, the descendant of Abraham is still suffering for that mistake today. See, we had to be careful not to try to solve the problem in the flesh, but we had to solve the problem in the spirit with the direction that God gives us. And so we had to learn to listen and to recognize the difference. So next week, we are going to see some of these things and see how what the difference is, so that we understand how not to fall into the flesh to try to fix the problem in our own abilities. You see, God doesn't want to use our abilities. Because if you go by your ability, you can say, I did it. And God wants to make sure that you know that you didn't do it. He did it. You see, he wants to get the glory for what happened, and you had to give him the glory, otherwise you cannot. You know, if you just get that, the type of results you're going to get in your life are going to be completely different from what you ever had before. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's close in prayer. Praise you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for tonight. Today, we ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may register into our hearts the things we have shared. Lord, that these things may stay there so that we may remember. And may them put them to work for us, that we, Lord, may be able to receive everything that you have promised us, that you have prepared for us, that you have, Lord, planned in our lives. Lord, we have a part, that we may understand that part, and that we may actually cooperate with you, so that you may achieve your purposes and your plan in our lives, because these are good plans that you have for us. And so, Lord, that we may recognize, understand that, and allow you to do it. In Jesus' name, by obeying you and by allowing the word to direct us in the things we do. In Jesus' name.